Our reading is going to be from Luke chapter 2, and if you've been to some carol services or school end of term assemblies, you'll quite often heard this reading being read by some of the school pupils, and we're just going to read the first 15 verses. So Luke chapter 2 and the first 15 verses. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him up in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped up in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Amen, and may God bless his word to us today.
Please, so Luke chapter 2. Another thing, I was listening to the radio. I'm in the car a lot listening to a thing in Radio 4. If you're old, you are older, you'll remember Jack and Ori. Jack and Ori was taken off about 5 years ago, and they asked, why was Jack and Ori taken off BBC? Jack and Ori was, for those of you who are younger, was a program every afternoon where someone would read a book out loud for 15 minutes. It was usually a celebrity, and they would read this book. And so they asked, why has Jack and Ori stopped? And apparently, Jack and Ori was stopped because they reckoned that a child can now only listen for 3 minutes. And so they did this audience survey, and they found that the child would not sit and listen to Jack and Ori for 15 minutes. Am I hearing voices, or am I... eh? I'm not lost it. So it's going to be a little bit more than 15 minutes, a little bit more than 3 minutes. Luke chapter 2. I don't know if you're familiar, but it's constantly voted the UK's most popular funeral song. It's more popular than any other. A co-op funeral survey. Just the co-op funeral directors did a survey, and in their group, this particular song was the most popular in the country, but for funerals only, it was the seventh most popular song. The most popular was the Monty Python thing, "Always Look on the Bright Side of Life." What is the seventh most popular song at funerals? I am, of course, talking about "Angels" by Robbie Williams. And so, one of the lines of that song is, "I'm worshipping angels instead." And I think that probably summarizes where we are as a nation. That men and women, perhaps all over the world, have got some kind of vague view of spirituality that's cobbled up and made out of everything else. And folk pretend not to worship God, but worship kind of angels. We're going to talk about the angels this morning. Now, angels are largely forgotten about. Most folk do not think about angels. I know that most of the men here live with an angel, but apart from that, we don't talk about it. The only time we maybe think about an angel, and maybe even this has gone out of date, is that at Christmas when we put up our Christmas tree, and on top of the Christmas tree, there will be an angel. So that's the kind of idea that most folk have of angels today. And we've got to ask ourselves, and we're going to look about later, what is the truth about the Christmas angel? Is the significance of the angel a lot more than a figurative character on top of a tree? So here we are in Luke's account of the birth of Jesus. You know what struck me again this week? How little there is in the Bible about the birth of Jesus. There is nothing in John's Gospel about it. There is nothing in Mark's Gospel about it. And only arguably half a chapter in Matthew and half a chapter in Luke. It is hardly mentioned. I wonder why that is. I think it is, well, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is important. It is tremendously important. But perhaps more important is the death of the Lord Jesus. But it's great at Christmas to fix our eyes and ask ourselves the reality of the birth of Jesus. Four things this morning, very, very briefly. Number one, we're going to look at what the angels did. What the angels did. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, we're told there what the angel did. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. That's the thing. He appeared to them. Now, most of the time, angels are hidden. Most of the time, we don't see angels. There could be thousands of angels in this room this morning. I hope there is. We maybe encounter angels every day of the week, but we don't see them. What exactly is an angel? Is an angel just heavenly decoration? Is an angel just something up there, a celestial bit of tinsel to brighten up the sky? Are they always unseen? Billy Graham wrote a book once. It's called Angels. The subtitle is God's Secret Agents. And maybe that is a great, you know, name for them, because that's what they are. They are the secret agents of God. But what is an angel? Well, the key thing to remember here is that an angel is someone who makes an announcement. An angel is an announcer, just like the picture there, someone who tells something. And every time you see an angel in the Bible, they are making an announcement or they are a messenger of God. The first angel we see is in the book of Genesis. Remember, he's a messenger of God guarding the way to the tree of good and evil. Angels are always there. They are messengers of God. So, what are we saying there? We cannot see angels. What is the point there? The point is that there is a world that we cannot see. The point is that not everything that we see is everything that there is. We cannot see God. The Bible says that no man has seen God. There are things going on out there that we cannot always touch and feel, but that doesn't mean that they don't exist. Boys and girls, although you cannot see God, God exists. You cannot see, it's not a great illustration or comparison, but you can't see oxygen, and yet it exists. We don't need to see things for them to be real. But the wonderful thing is about angels. Yes, there are secret things, but they don't always remain a secret. God's ways break through. It's a secret that has to be shared. I wonder, do you like, boys and girls, do you like if someone tells you a secret? There's two wee girls there, and one of them's obviously telling the other one a secret. And if someone tells you a secret, they say, don't tell anybody. But the wonderful thing is that God's secrets have not to be kept secret. Everybody's got to hear. Everybody's got to be told that God exists. Everybody's got to be told that there is a Savior. God wants himself to be revealed. It is not something that's to be kept away. It's annoying if people say, well, I've got a secret and I'm not telling you. You know, when there's a royal baby, it's a big secret until it's announced. People speculate. Folk don't want to be told about a royal baby. But the wonderful thing is, there is good news for everyone today. There is a royal baby to beat every other baby. The Lord Jesus Christ was a king from the very moment he was born. The Lord Jesus Christ was a king before he was born. And so we see there what the angels did. And so we need to tell everybody about Jesus. That's how I love coming here to Smithton and see so many people here. And I want to tell even more people. That's what I do all during the week. Try and help folk to tell more people about Jesus. Thousands of people. It's not a secret. I want everybody to know about Jesus and what he has done for us. So that's the first thing we see there. What the angel did. And you see it there in verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared. What the angel did, he appeared. Secondly, what the angel looked like. Boys and girls, I wonder if I asked you, what do you think an angel looks like? What would you tell me? Well, you're very quiet here, I know you are, but I'll tell you what you would tell me. I think someone would put their hand up and say, they've got wings. And the Bible says, yes, they do have wings. Someone else would say, well, they are white. And I don't know if they're white or not, but when you look at them, they certainly look as if they are white. But look at what the Bible says here. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. That's what the angels did. What the angels looked like. Look at the second bit that says, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. You see, I'm not sure if the shepherds that day could tell what the angels looked like. Because the great thing is that the angels, we know from the other parts of the Bible that there was a very bright light. The light was so bright that you couldn't look at it. See the picture up there? I think that's what they saw. They saw a light that was so bright, that was so amazing. What do we learn about that? That in the passage, in the bit in the Bible, the angels are not really all that important. The angels don't want to be important because they reflected something bigger. They reflected the glory of God. They wanted all to be about God. The angels don't matter. They're just messengers. And so it is, I think, I hope in this church, the preacher really at the end of the day doesn't matter. We don't matter as much as God, and we want to see the glory of God. Sometimes you see an important person. And when you see that important person, you think, well, who is that person with them? When we see God, we realize this, that God is big. I wonder if you know who that is. Go back a little bit. Sorry, Daisy. That is Danny McCaskill from Dunvegan on the island of Skye. Just thought I'd say that. There is Danny McCaskill on top of the most beautiful mountains in the world, the Coolins and the island of Skye. Just thought I'd say that as well. So there you have Danny McCaskill on top of this huge, big mountain. And you think, wow! That's what the shepherds saw when they saw the angels. They didn't think, whoa, what amazing angels. They thought, what an amazing God. They thought, how powerful. powerful God is, how awesome God is, and they worshipped him. Because when you see God, that's the first thing you notice, that how big he is. When you see important people, like that man, does anybody know who that man is? No. That's David Cameron. Now, see that man there to the left of him? Do you know who he is? I'll give a fiver to anyone here who knows who he is. I'll give a tenner to anyone here who knows he is. I'll give 100 to anyone here who knows who this is. I'll give 1,000 to anyone who knows who this is. If I had 1,000,000, I would give 1,000,000. As he sweats in the off chance that that is not someone's cousin who works for the French police. That is his protector. His job, and I haven't a clue who he is, but his job is to protect the guy in the middle who's really, really important. That guy, in the scheme of things, we don't know his name. He doesn't want his name to be known because it's all about the main man. Unless you want, you think I'm politically biased, the next slide will show Nicola. Just notice that's, if you're into Scottish politics, that's probably not the best picture to show. But who's that guy there on the phone? Nobody has got a clue who he is because he's there to support the lady in the middle. She is the main woman. You see, boys and girls, in the Robbie Williams song, I'll worship angels instead. Yeah, anybody will worship anyone except God, but the angels are saying, it's not about us. Shepherds, it's not about us. It's about God. That's why we worship God in church. We are amazed about him. Boys and girls, it's all this morning about the wonder of God. God is first. And if you want to take anything away from this service, anything about Christmas, it is this: God is first. Christmas is not just about children. It's not just about us having a kind of a children-centered view of the world. It is about giving God all the glory. So what have we seen? What the angels did? What the angels looked like? But thirdly, we're going to notice what the angels did to them. What the angels did. Well, if you look at the passage, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Notice what it says, and they were terrified. They were terrified. They had never seen anything like that before. That's not the right photo. That's the right photo. We have there a terrified... Is that a wee boy or a wee girl? I don't know. Is that a wee boy or a wee girl? Wee boy? Definitely? Definitely. Okay. I hope that's not the picture of someone in here's wee girl. It's a wee boy. Boys and girls, I don't know if you've ever been like that, frightened, alone, and just thinking, oh, what is going on here? That is the first reaction. The shepherds were terrified. And that's how we feel sometimes when we meet God. We feel terror. Now, is it good to be frightened like that with God? Is it good? No, it's not good. The Bible says that it's good to fear God, but what does that fear mean? There's a scary bad and there's a scary good. Fear like that is bad. We ought not to be, if we're a Christian anyway, we ought not to be frightened of God like that. But God is more like that. Now, what do we have there? We have a mummy and a daughter, and they're talking. I don't know what they're talking about. Maybe talking about boys. Maybe talking about work. But they're having a really nice conversation. I think that's a lovely photo. You can tell that there's what big folk call respect. The girl respects her mum. She knows her mum's not her best friend forever. More than that, her mum's her mum. That's a very special category. A mum is a friend, of course, but in a different league. Mum or dad. There is respect there. And that's what it means to fear God properly. That we can talk to him and that we can respect him and that we love him. God's not a bad man. Just as we've got respect for our mum and dads, so we ought to have respect for God. But then there's a fourth thing here. And the fourth thing is, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Look what it says there. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all of the people. That's what God is always saying to us in the Bible. If you read in the Bible, often God is saying, do not fear. I don't want you to be in that constant state of fear and anxiety. Maybe this is what one of the older people need to hear this morning. Are you constantly in a state of fear, anxiety about God? Maybe thinking, God doesn't love me enough. God doesn't notice me enough, or I don't do enough for God, or constantly feeling just downtrodden and constantly feeling really bad about ourselves. He says, fear not. I bring you good news of great joy. I wonder what that good news is. What is the good news of the gospel? Good news of great joy. This morning is the Sunday before Christmas. It's one of my favourite Sundays here at Smithton. It's really good to be with you here. The Sunday before Christmas when families are home and we've got a big church and, you know, there's this feeling of anticipation. Where does all the joy in the Christmas come from? It comes from a story of the gospel. And what is the story of the gospel? The story of the gospel doesn't begin with good news. It begins with that bad news. Sin brings us down. It keeps us away from God. The truth is, we are very dirty. You see my little friend there? He doesn't look happy, does he? And that's a picture of what we're like without God. And the John Lewis thing, man without God, I said it was like a man in the moon on his own lonely. Here we are, dirty with sin. Boys and girls, no matter how young you are, no matter how good you are, we are all dirty with sin. That's the reality. We all need God. That's what we look like. And God looks at us, that's what he sees. And when we look at ourselves, that's what we see. But the wonderful thing is that Jesus came to make us new. We are very dirty, but Jesus came to bring us together. Jesus came to make us clean again. That's the great story of the gospel. He takes that which is dirty and he turns us into someone who is clean and beautiful. Someone is probably saying, that girl's really nicely dressed. I wonder where she got that outfit. But there you have someone who is clean. And so when God looks at a Christian, he sees someone like that, clean. Beautiful, because Jesus has done that for us. And you know, I always say this when I'm here. One of the wonderful things is that the gospel is for everybody. All types of people. I love that picture where you've got that black girl in pink with her black hair and you've got the white blonde girl, black and white. There you have a black and white girl. And then we've got a black and white boy as well. It doesn't matter if we're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if we're good at singing. It doesn't matter if we're not good at anything. It doesn't matter if we come to church every Sunday. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter how bad we've been. And that's the wonderful thing about everybody here this morning. What a variety of people. People coming maybe from a night of sin. People coming from a night of reading the Bible. People coming from lives which are in a mess. People coming from lives which at least outwardly seem all together. And yet the gospel fits everybody. And it really is. It's a world religion. It's the only philosophy where everybody fits. Where everybody is welcome for all the people. Do you ever think that you're different? Are you one of these people that really in your mind says, I'm not like all the other folk? We are, and that we're all sinners. But we are also invited to this feast. It says there, do not be afraid. I give you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Now, as a wee boy, I lived in a street. It was called Hollows Crescent. And the girl next door was called Marion Armour. And when Marion Armour was 7, she had a birthday party. And everybody in the street was invited down to the community centre for Marion Armour's birthday party, except me. That day, the street emptied, and I was on my own, bouncing my ball up and down. I've never forgotten that. Marion, if you're watching in the video, the gospel's not like Marion Armour's birthday party. You're all invited. We're all in a mess. But come to the party. Notice how the shepherds responded. They said, come, let's go and see him. I wonder, will this Christmas mark the time when you've been born again because you're following not the angels, but the Lord Jesus? Boys and girls, older people, families, come, taste and see that God is good. Let's pray. Father, we come into your presence. We thank you for bringing us together again this morning in this church, for our family service. Lord, you know we want to get the balance between a light touch and yet examining what the Bible says about you. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Help us to worship him. Bless us now. In all that we say, in all that we do, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.